Hello and welcome to The Inner Gamer, episode 193. We are your weekly dose of video game news, reviews, opinions, and discussions made for and by our listeners. My name is Brad Yanofsky.
And this guy is Austin Morales. And this week in video games, I talk Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Brett plays a little bit of Call of Duty Ops 4. And in the news, Black Ops 4 just sells an ungodly amount and gets an ungodly amount of money in 3 days. And Dreadnought, a game based out of Houston, Texas, they're going through some layoffs, so not good. And in the discussion this week, we talk about RDR. We watched the launch trailer. We have some articles that came out. And let's just say we're pretty hyped. So we're going to discuss some of this stuff. So you want to stay here for a discussion topic. And cue that music, Brett. Wait, don't do
yeah,
that. No. I'll cue it. Welcome to the Inner Gamer. It is October 23rd, 2018. Welcome to the Inner Gamer Podcast. If you enjoy this podcast, we think you should go to patreon.com/innergamer and click on that donate tier. $25 a month will give you awesome goodies. Just do that. Just please do that right now. Just stop what you're doing. Pull the car over. Pull out your phone. Go to patreon.com/innergamer. Or if you have the Patreon app, pull that up. Just send us some stuff. Because, you know, like, if you do that, think of what you're doing for everybody out there. Like, you are allowing the content that we produce to be better and better as time goes on. So much better. Yeah. Like, we can make, like, the events that we have, like we had last week at Petacolos. Thank you all who came out, you know, shout out to those people. And then the event that we have coming up this week at Hop Fusion, which will be in 2 days as the time you listen to this podcast, that stuff will be better and better. We can buy new equipment and all that stuff with the gracious money that you, our lovely fans, donate to us. So please head on over to theinnergamer.net, click that donate button to contribute, and we will love you eternally for it. Eternally.
You get all kinds of great stuff.
And in the afterlife, we'll eternally be by your side. Yeah. Thank you.
Nobody took me up on the free beer opportunity at Patreon, so or for at the event. Like, none of my patrons came up to me and said, hey, I want to give you some money. I gave you some money, so like, give me a beer. And I would have bought him beer. Would have been great.
It's okay. So, Dallas is far for people.
Yep. Anyway, that's the thing. But yeah, reminder, Hop Fusion, we're going to be dropping a new beer. Or we're not dropping it. Hop Fusion's dropping it. But
I'll drop it.
Event,
I'll drop the beer.
Yeah. We don't know what beer it is yet, but it's either going to be an IPA or a British ale of some kind.
Hopefully it's British ale. I like British ale.
Hell yeah. Yeah. So we'll have that stuff, and you should come out to play some video games with us. But speaking of video games, let's talk about some new games. There's a lot of shit happening right now. Like we are literally, as you're listening to this, 3 flipping days away from Red Dead Redemption 2.
When you start calling these storms, the fall storms, something, what can we call it? We gotta name it, because there's Hurricane Michael that just blew through,
yeah,
Mexico.
Yeah,
this could be Hurricane.
I don't know. I don't have anything.
Okay,
clever.
I thought we'd go somewhere with this. It just faded out.
It could be just the chaos of
storm of 18.
I don't know. I'm gonna reach out to Eminem on Twitter and be like, hey, can you write us a rap song about this fall season that we got here? Just throw in every game that came out and just make a rap about it.
That would be sweet.
He can make it happen. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, Brent knows Eminem. You know, no big deal.
Let's take some time and go back in time to a period of time in which there was time of time and things such as Spartans and Greeks and Mediterranean food, which is probably not what it was called back then. But
it's called food.
There's a game that came out, Assassin's Creed Odyssey, where you can play as Cassandra or Alexios.
And
Austin, you were playing as Alexios.
I did.
And
Alexios.
You were playing this game.
I did.
How do you feel about it?
Odyssey. I have mixed reviews about it right now. So the game starts off with a cutscene, and you're playing literally the 300 part where you're fighting off the Persians. Super like epic, badass, like all this, like doing great stuff. They throw you in, you get to fight a little bit.
That's
you get
cool.
to learn some of the new like. New mechanics. I was playing on a controller, so I like how they did it. You pull up different wheels to attack.
So I was doing the Spartan charge where I charge to the enemies and do like 1500 plus damage, or 15%, 1500% plus damage, something like that. Yeah. So it was really cool. Killing a lot of people. I felt powerful. And then switches to Alexios. Like, it allows you. Okay. No, sorry. It switches out and it's back to the girl from the Origins, who's in current time, who has like a on-the-go animus, and there's a quick cutscene there between these two women characters. And honestly, after the whole Desmond debacle, like, I don't care anything that happens outside of the animus.
I'm surprised that they still have this stuff.
I know. I'm like, dude, just kill it.
I mean, I really liked it. Like, I liked that idea, but they never fully fleshed it out in any capacity that I'm aware of. And I wish they would figure out a way to better tie that into the overarching narrative that they're telling. But some people are just like, just tell a period piece and just leave it at that.
I will state that I'm going to have some spoilers here, but I don't think there's that big of a deal because it's just the intro and it's setting up the game, which is probably like, I don't know how many hundreds of hours past this part, but
yeah.
I think it's pivotal to understand where I'm coming from if I explain some of these characters and what's going on.
Okay.
Because I have issues with it. Anyway, so I blow through that cut, like that scene, and I'm just like, thank goodness, like I don't care, just let's just keep going. So we finally go back in the animus. I choose my character. I want to be Alexios. So you start off like,
why'd you choose Alexios?
I always choose the guy.
Okay,
yeah. Sometimes like in Fallout 4, I'll go back and choose the woman,
yeah,
or the girl, and then see how that plays, which apparently the same issue they had in Fallout 4 where the guy had horrible delivery is the same issue they have here. The guy has horrible delivery of his lines. And apparently the girl is like better at delivering her stuff.
Yeah, she's pretty awesome.
So you start off and with Alexios, and you fight some dudes, and you find out that some guy, the Cyclops guy, doesn't like you. And he has like a posse and stuff. Anyway,
this like Cyclops guy, he's got a posse.
Yeah. Well, he has one eye, but he has like the fake eye, but it's like a jewel of some kind. So, you know how we have the fake eyes that are made out of, I don't even know what they're made out of nowadays, anyway, so you go meet your friend who is also in trouble with the Cyclops, and he's actually raised you as a child, and you learn that later through cutscenes, which I'll get to that in a second. And so, like, he's supposed to be the comedic relief in this whole thing. But your character, from what we've had in the past, is very lighthearted in his delivery and his demeanor and the things he says. So it's a huge depart from the previous games where it's very serious. There's a lot of serious things going on. There's some funny moments here and there, you know, to kind of break up that seriousness. And I think Origins actually had a good balance between serious things happening and that like humor thrown in, you know. Okay. And I really enjoyed that. I think that's was like one of the main things that really kept me going in that game.
Yeah.
Is like if it got serious, like I was ready for it. But then if it toned it down a little bit, I was like, okay, I'm cool with it.
Yeah,
you know, we just had like 3 hours of seriousness going through the main story plot. Anyway, the whole intro is you and this guy working together, this guy who raised you.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it felt kind of Zelda-ish to me in a way.
Yeah.
And like, you know, some of those wonky kind of funny, those funnier, supposed to be funnier parts.
Yeah.
These characters, because they had this like really weird, like funny music. You'll have to look it up online if y'all want to know what I'm talking about. And I was not getting sucked into this game. So really? it was just a whole like intro, like 3-4 hour intro of you doing some like, obviously learning how to traverse this world, learning how to fight in this world and all the new stuff they have, which is fine, but it just wasn't interesting. And then you had random flashbacks of who you are. I won't get into that, but you are a descendant from a Spartan and you supposedly died. And so the whole, like, after you get through all this, you realize that you're going to go find this guy. I think it's called the Grey Wolf or something. And he's your dad. So you leave this island, this little starting island, you go to this main, that like the mainland, and it kind of, obviously the world opens up, but then one of the new things they have is that you can topple nations. And when you go there, you can destroy supplies, kill guys that are in that army, complete certain missions and stuff, and it lower the, what's the right word for that? Basically, when you go and fight the guy who's in charge of the nation, he'll be, if you've done all this stuff, his defenses will lower, which yeah, they do yeah. allow you to go attack him immediately, but it's going to be a very, very difficult battle. And so like that's really neat. Like that is something that I can really get behind. And on top of that, like the battle, the fighting with the swords and the RPG elements are like superb. Like right. they did pretty good. They did really good, and Origins fit really well. Something that I really enjoyed, and they carried it over here.
Yeah.
So for all intents and purposes, it is basically just Origins reskinned.
Yeah.
And with that said,
it's a brand new world.
Yeah, brand new world. It's fine. Like that. I mean, the world looks great. Fantastic.
Brand new characters.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Brand new story.
It's just it plays the same.
Yeah.
So I didn't like that. And with Origins, you know, they're trying to redesign Assassin's Creed to, you know, hopefully re-jumpstart the franchise, which for me was fine, you know, and they, you know, it was kind of opened up a little bit, you know, the way everything was basically, it wasn't super polished, I'll say. I mean, it was a pretty polished game. Like there's a lot of stuff you can do. Everything worked really well. I felt like it wasn't narrowed in like God of War was. It's like you have one set mission and you can go off and do some side quests here and there once you unlock certain areas.
But do you think that was a mistake? Like do you think that, like, say, I mean, technically that's just two different pathways to go. Do you think that was like that was wrong that they did it that way, or they just took a different direction with it? I mean, like, because God of War was intentionally like very narrowly focused,
right,
because they wanted to focus in on the story between these two characters, right? But and Assassin's Creed Odyssey is more, and Assassin's Creed in general has always been more about this global, like kind of, you know, the Templars and like this more massive scale kind of situation. It never was focused in other than like the Ezio storyline, like never really honed in on one set character per se. So, I mean, do you think that that was, had God of War not come out, do you think you would feel the same way about this being a negative situation?
I think so, because I think everything's kind of more like with Origins, like everything was, I don't know the right term I'm trying to say, but it's kind of like all over the place. It's a little more scattered.
Yeah.
I mean, the story is actually pretty straightforward, and it did make me want to keep going,
yeah,
you know, and there were a lot of side quests. So it's the same thing here.
Yeah.
But with this, it seems like they didn't tighten it up a little bit, you know? And I figured they would for the second game, just kind of focus in on certain, you know, aspects and elements that really made Origins good, you know, and focus on those instead of being exactly the same thing.
Yeah. Well, keep in mind too. So like, I was reading an article about the backstory behind how these games were developed, and these games were started within a year of each other. So, Assassin's Creed Origins was started back in, it was 4 years ago it was started, or four years ago, I believe. And then they started this game 3 years ago. So they were like a year apart from each other. So they, by the time Origins came out and like people understood, like people had their feedback, there was only a year of development left in Odyssey. So there was not a whole lot that they could have done to it at that point in time to like really drastically change any systems that were being developed, because of the fact they only had like a year's worth of feedback, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and then, you know, there's like a 6 month period where like that's their marketing time where they're like pushing the game out, and then they can take a little bit of feedback from like the beta and stuff like that. But it's like, not like they can change like massive systems.
Right.
So that's something to keep in mind as well.
Well, I mean, I think they should have waited a little bit just so they can like develop on top of what is working for Origins to take out some of the fluff.
Yeah.
So that fluff is still there. I mean, some people like it, some people don't. It's whatever. But this one seems like it's more dependent on you completing those side quests now.
Yeah.
Like the side quests might as well be part of the main story, because kind of need those to level up your guy.
Yeah.
I did a few missions where I was underleveled and still succeeded, but there was a lot of dodging and a lot of it just took forever to kill who I needed to kill.
Yeah.
I went to this one mission.
What difficulty were you playing? Or is there a difficulty?
I was just playing normal.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was like, man, it's like, again, like the combat is really fun.
Yeah.
Like it is awesome. I like that. And then going and, you know, leveling up my stats and getting new things. And I like how you can level up your gear and keep it over time if you need to. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if you get a higher level gear, it just kind of depends because they have the blue and the purple. And then the yellow and the orange, or do they have orange? Maybe they just have yellow. It's like those common.
Yeah.
Blue is like rare, I guess.
Yeah.
And then, or uncommon.
Purple's legendary.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And then yellow's epic.
Yeah.
So they still have that in there. And it's cool that you can, just customization with that alone, just, it tickles my fancy. Like, I really like something like that. You kind of customize. And then they have the three trees, hunter, warrior, and assassin. And that gear, whatever you put on, will help increase one of those stats. Sometimes they'll do like, you can land a critical if you're at full health, or land a critical if you're, you know, close to death or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Or overall armor plus 2% or something like that. So like, you can really play around with that stuff.
Yeah.
And I know you probably hate that, but.
I don't know. Yeah, it depends on how there's complex a lot
of,
it is.
There's a lot of being in the menus for me, you know, more so than just putting on some armor.
Is there inventory that you have to deal with, or is it mostly just upgrading your existing stuff? Like,
Inventory,
do you have
an
inventory of consumables and stuff like that? Or
Your arrows.
Okay. But so, I mean, like, is there like, I mean, I read that like health wasn't a consumable anymore. It's like an ability. So like, or it's something that like recharges or something like that. And like, I also read that like you used to have consumable smoke bombs. So you had to like buy smoke bombs or whatever. But now I understand that that's just like a thing you can do if you level up one of those skill trees.
So yeah,
like it's not consumable.
Health is now, I just want to say it's a power. I don't know how they say it in their marketing or anything. Yeah.
Well, I mean,
but like,
ability would make like,
Well, it's an ability, but it's a power because like you have to charge up these bars through battle.
Yeah.
And as they get charged, I think I have 4 right now. So like once a bar is charged, you can use an ability.
Okay.
So you use it and then like for like you can get 1/4 of your health back.
Yeah.
If you use a bar, and then that has a recharge time.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like how Spider-Man works with like getting your health back a little bit where as you do damage and stuff like that, you can get a little bit, but if you're not doing enough damage, you can only do like a sliver of health regeneration.
It's just like that.
Okay.
Just like that.
Cool.
So, and then you can unlock, so they actually have, I'm using a controller, so you can, they have 3 wills. They have a hunter, warrior, and assassin wheel that you can pull up and use those
abilities. 3 wheels that you can pull up during the game?
Yes.
How do they manage that?
Oh, I think with
the
triggers.
3 separate buttons?
Yeah. You use 3 separate buttons to pull up different wheels. Or I guess there's only 2.
Complicated.
Maybe there's only 2.
Yeah.
I guess, I have to go back and see.
But I mean, I guess you just have, what are your standard control? You have move, obviously. You have jump. You have attack.
Yeah,
you have
like light attack.
Is there a light
heavy attack?
Heavy attack?
Yeah, light and heavy
attack. Is there a block button too, or no?
Yes, there's a block button.
Okay. So that's your 4 buttons, basically. Jump, block, heavy, and light attack.
Right.
And then you have your triggers, which are different menus. And then your arrows that you use to move around. And I guess you also have those 2 extra buttons, whatever they do. But
right.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's not too bad then, I guess.
So, I mean, you can jump around from like hunter and warrior to do certain things, which I think is cool.
Yeah.
And now, because before you can upgrade the ability to have the arrow that goes in and you follow the arrow. And basically, it's just like a tracking missile.
Yeah.
And so now, like, that's an ability.
Okay.
I was like, you can be OP in Origins when you do that. But now with that, it allows you to kind of, it balances out the game a lot. And I really enjoy that. But again, for overall, I would give this a delay. I think you should wait till this goes on sale, especially in the storm that's happening right now. And there's a lot more better games out there. So if you're like backlogged right now, it is not the game you want to pick up. I'll play it more to see how the story pans out over time. But right now, the story beats and the way that the story is told is just not jiving with me.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so hard this year with God of War, like, because they have, you know, usually you fade out and there's a loading screen and then you go to the cutscene.
Yeah.
And then God of War has done such an amazing job where
it's all
just
seamless. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know how bad that would destroy me.
Yeah, and just wait
no till game,
freaking whatever. Red Dead comes out. It's going to be like totally changing all that again.
I hope they don't have any cuts, loading screens.
I don't think there is any loading scenes. I mean, there's going to be cutscenes. I think there'll be cutscenes in there.
Oh, no, for sure. But
I don't think it'll be, yeah, I think it'll be different than the way God of War did it. Like, it's good. I think you're going to have actual cutscenes.
Yeah.
But it still seems like it, there is some seamlessness to it. Where it's just going to like pull your camera around and then just like go into it. And now you're just playing the game.
Totally fine with that.
Yeah.
Just make it seamless as possible.
Cool. So I guess we'll do a round two with Assassin's Creed Odyssey later on.
Yeah.
More of it.
It might not be next week.
Up with it. No,
it might not be the week after that.
It'll be like in 2 weeks from now. I mean, I will be playing it for like 20 weeks anyway, so it'll be fine.
I mean, I'm going to go back to it because that combat, again, it's super fun. Like, I love what they've done with the combat overall. And it's changed a little bit since Origins. So, I mean, if you enjoy that, it might be worth getting, you know? But, I mean, there's a long list right now of games that you're going to want to get.
Yeah.
Like Red Dead.
From my understanding, this is a better game than Origins, but it's not a huge leap forward of any kind.
No.
But people said that if you liked what Origins was doing, but wanted something that was just a more interesting world and a better first, like, that people have said that this character is more, these characters, especially the female character, is more interesting than Bayek from the first game, like, than Origins was.
They felt
like
Bayek
was pretty flat. And kind of the
whole
character.
His story and his arc and what he wanted was so clear and focused. Like, I could get behind that.
Yeah.
Like, it was easy to, like, understand his pain and suffering and what he needed to do.
Yeah.
You know? It doesn't have to be complicated for it to be good.
Yeah.
It could be as simple as revenge.
Yeah.
Getting justice.
Because you have two characters. So the two characters, like, you, it's going to be a little more open-ended with this story anyway, you know?
I'm glad you brought that up. So speaking of being open-ended, real quick, last point here is that the dialogue options, like, there's one point where I meet my father's adopted son, and you can be like, hey, you could tell him that I'm your brother, or you can be like, hey, let me help you out. And that way you can kind of smooth your way into meeting your father. So it's not so abrupt. But I feel like because of the guy's character and who he is and like the precedents that have been set on what's going to happen, like, there was no emotion behind that. I think it would have been much better as a cutscene to see some, like, struggle within and what he's going to do and be like, you know what he wants to do, but what he has to do is go the sleuth way and come in from behind and work his way up the ladder. I don't know. That's just my opinion. It was kind of pointless to have those in there. All the dialogue I had. I was like, I don't care to... Either of these are fine, I guess.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I want to talk about Black Ops 4 because Austin isn't a big fan of Odyssey, but I am fucking hyped about Black Ops 4. Holy fuck. I've never been this excited about a Call of Duty game in a long time. Like, I was really hyped for World War II when it was announced and stuff like that. I played the game. It was a lot of fun when I played it at E3, but then it came out and I was like, okay, this is fun. I played the campaign. I beat it. It was good, but it wasn't like anything crazy. And then Call of Duty Black Ops 4 gets announced and I'm like, there's no single player. A lot of backlash came out of that. But then now that I've gotten the game and I've jumped into it, I don't miss it. Like, I'm fine with that because as much as I liked playing the single player campaign and I always wanted to play the Black Ops, the Call of Duty campaigns in general, they always felt, especially as of late, they were starting to get very formulaic in that you enter a room, you fight a bunch of bad guys until the room is cleared, and then it's basically like triggering animations. You walk in a room, there's a bunch of shit that comes out and they fire at you, you kill them, you go to the next room, and you do it, rinse and repeat. And then there's like epic, intense, like Michael Bay-ish story beats where you have like explosions and helicopters and it's first person view and you're falling down the ground and then another helicopter blade comes around you and barely misses your head and then your arm almost gets chopped off and then your buddy comes up to you and is like, strong soldier there, bro. Let's go. And picks you up and you go back in the next arena. So that was like basically the story missions of Call of Duty and it was getting very kind of repetitive. But now that's all gone. And you have three pillars. You have multiplayer, you have blackout, and you have zombies, right? When you enter the game, it's set up as if they are three different experiences. And I wasn't sure how they're going to handle this in the game, but what I've discovered with this is that basically Black Ops 4 is as if you have PUBG, you have Call of Duty, and you have a game like Warhammer Vermintide all in one. That's basically what this is. Because Vermintide is like the zombies mode.
Right.
Black Ops Call of Duty is Call of Duty, but this is way better, which I'll talk mostly about that. And then Blackout is literally like a PUBG. I mean, there isn't any other than the fact there's only one map. Like, it is as well developed as a PUBG would be. And it's very, very streamlined. I jumped into one or two rounds with the full version. They've improved so much since the beta. It's insane. It's way smoother. The frame rate's higher. The graphics are better. The armor's not bullshit anymore. They fixed the armor. They made the level 3 armor less frequent, and they also nerfed it a little bit. So it's more
good.
You want to get level 1 and 2 armor more so than anything else. They changed the player count a little bit. So if you're playing solos and duos, it's 88 players. If you're playing squads or quads, it was 100 when I was playing, but apparently that's going to be variable. So that's going to change over time, like based on events and stuff like that.
You're going to work out your legs?
Yeah.
Your quads?
Yeah, right. Ah. Yeah, I'm gonna get my quad exercises going. But they really did a lot of good work with Blackout since the beta. And it was, I mean, I was getting like 80-90 FPS on max graphics, like, because it's uncapped frame rate on PC.
Right.
So you get like everything that you can possibly get. It was awesome. And so I did a little bit of that. I did die, but it was still fun what I played. But what I played a lot of was multiplayer. And I was surprised that I played a lot of this. Now, one thing I was interested by is the fact that they have a leveling progression system that is different from Blackout to the regular multiplayer. So when you're playing Blackout, you have your own progression that levels you up. And as you level up, you unlock like cosmetic based items to use in the game. From what I've seen, there is absolutely no microtransactions anywhere in this game. It is all based on progression. 100% free and clear. I haven't seen any of it yet. If it's going to be there, I haven't seen it, which is pretty awesome. And then you jump in for now. Yeah. I mean, they're going to have like paid map packs and stuff like that that you'll buy, which I'm
that's
okay
fine.
With.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
They add maps to it. Yeah. That'd be pretty good.
Just don't have it ready out of the gate.
Yeah, exactly. So I jumped into multiplayer and played that. I got to level 6 or 7. I think there's 50 to 75 levels in the game. You level pretty quick, but I mean, it feels like traditional Call of Duty in that it's very small, tight maps, very nicely designed. You have multiple pathways you can go about. But in this one, I felt that you know how World War II Call of Duty, they were like, this is boots on the ground. We're going back to the boots on the ground.
Yep.
This is boots on the ground. Like, I think that they finally found a nice medium point. I didn't ever feel like when I was playing this game that I was getting bullshit killed by people. Like, I had a fighting chance in the game. And as I played, I got progressively better and was doing more damage. And what's really cool is whenever you finish a round, at the very end of it, they show you, here's your last 10 games of progress and stats. So they tell you your kills per minute of your last 10 games that you played. They tell you your kills last 10 minutes. You tell you your time of life. They tell you all these different stats. So you can see over time how you're doing. So I saw the bar graphs like going up and up as I was playing, showing me that I was actually like doing a better job as I was playing through these maps on TDM is what I was playing. And so that was really cool to see that there was like some noticeable progression happening.
Are you a stat whore?
No. But
yeah, You don't get off to your stats?
No, I don't get off to my stats, okay. No.
That's just me, though.
My friends do, though. But that is another thing. This is, if you're a stat whore, though, this game has that shit for you. Every time you go into a map, they tell you your best KDR, your best time. Like, they tell you three main stats about that map.
Yeah.
So you can, like, subconsciously be like, okay, this is how I'm going to, like, improve myself in this next map round. They have challenges and stuff, unlockables that as you unlock challenges, like you get, you know, bonus experience points to apply to new things. As you level up, you unlock new guns for your creative class. So when you start out like level 1 through 5, you pick each one of the classes. So they have like a specialist class. They have like every type of class that's like focused around sniper, this, that, and that. Then once you get to create a class, you basically don't use those classes anymore because they have that pick 10 system where you can basically build out whatever kind of class you want and be whatever you want. So like I can load out an assault rifle and then add a perk that lets me have 2 assault rifles So I can have two assault rifles or an assault rifle and a rocket launcher.
Dang.
They have perks that give you, like, the perk system is really cool. There's a lot of like perks that you can like put onto each other, but they're not like bullshit, like overpowered stuff. It's just like silent your footsteps or like move faster when you're crouching or, you know, what have you. But if you do like say three perks, you can't do like two guns, or you can't have like maybe a grenade or whatever. You know, there's limitations in what you can do with that. Every gun has attachments. You can get grips. You can add hollow sights and like all that stuff. All that's unlockable. You can, they have a really cool customization system for the weapons where you can actually like take, you know, like the emblems and iconography and like literally position it and layer it and paint it onto your gun. So rather than just having a skin, like you can take, like, I want a skull that sits right here up above the magazine, and then I want to put this texture over here, and you can do like all kinds of stuff and just move and layer things around on your gun to make it yours. And that's all free. None of that stuff costs or anything like that.
That's pretty Call of Duty.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, this is like, you know, because usually they have that for like your emblem, you know, like you can customize your emblem, but now you can like do it all over your like guns too, which is really cool.
Just put the gamer on there. That's your emblem?
That's my clan tag, Tig.
I got Tig
on there.
You're the only one.
I know, right? But yeah, man, it's like the customization's great. The map designs are great. And then they have this new thing, the operators. So that's a new component to it, which it took me a second to understand how that was working. But when you start the game, you pick an operator and then you pick your class. So your operator is not necessarily tied to your class, but your operator is basically like your hero. So based on which operator you pick, you get a ability and you get an ultimate ability. So for the one that I really like, I forgot his name, but you get a grappling hook. So whenever you're playing the game, it's got a small recharge. So like I can use it every, you know, I use it and then 5 seconds later I can use it again. Damn. So I can run around the map and then I can like, here's a second story, like opening in a map. I can throw my grappling hook, zip across the map and shoot people as I'm zipping up there and then climb up into another area.
My goodness.
So I'm very mobile with that. And then then your ultimate power is like, there's one that was a very defensive operator, to where it can lay down like barbed wire to like block areas or whatever. And then your ultimate, once you get enough kills and get enough experience, is like a big, huge, massive like mobile barrier you can set up that's got like bulletproof walls that you can put in a position and like hold a spot or whatever.
Do you hold it and you move with it, or just,
no, it's just put it on the ground? They do have that. So there is one that has a ballistic shield that's an ultimate that you can have a shield in front of you and like still shoot people and walk around. But this is one where you have like a stationary like barrier that you can set up to like create a defensive position.
Right.
And I think there's like 10 operators. So there's a lot of different types of operators that do different stuff. One of them has a little robot car that you can use around to like target people and, you know, throw people off. All that stuff has different like...
Are these meant to be paired with each other? Are they balanced enough to like go head to head with each other? You know what I mean?
Yeah, they are pretty well balanced. Like they tell you, like you're not allowed to have two of the same kind. So like once somebody takes the one, like an operator, like that's not usable.
So it's almost like a hero.
It is a hero. Okay. Yeah, it's exactly like that. So it's like playing Overwatch.
Okay.
Or like when you're playing Overwatch, you get whoever hero you have, like that hero is not usable anymore for that team. So everybody kind of gets a pretty well balanced character. But then you also have your class added on top of that. So like you have those special abilities of the operators, and then you have the class system that you can add onto that allows you to just build out your loadout. So like I favor that. I bet you would probably favor the one that gives you have what's called a nine bang. That's like a flash bang grenade.
A nine bang?
Yeah.
Does it bang nine times?
It might. I don't know. It just does a lot of like flashbang damage. So basically you can throw it in there. Like, if there's a crowd of people in a room, you just throw the flashbang in there, walk in there. They can't see shit. And you can like wipe the team basically. That's the one that also gives you the ballistic shield with the ultimate. So that one is a pretty cool defensive one. But there's a lot of flexibility with it. But again, like what I like about it is it's finally gone to the point where they've found a nice medium point between, like, I've never seen people use their kill streak bonuses to a negative too much. Like, I mean, UAV comes a lot. Sometimes it'll like scramble your map or whatever if somebody's getting really good. But I've never seen it so unbalanced that I feel like it's just constant barrages of explosions and missiles dropping down on me all the time to where I'm dying all the time. Like, I got to the point by the end of it, I was getting like 1.2 KDR. When I started, I was getting like 0.2 or 0.9. So I wasn't doing very good, but I got to the point where I was getting over 1 KDR after several rounds of play.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. But,
yeah, it sounds more of like classic Call of Duty, but I don't want to say it really like that. It sounds like Call of Duty 3 or maybe Black Ops 1.
It's just taken the best, like what they've done is done they found all these things that games are doing really well and pulled inspiration from all of them and meshed into one game, but kept the Call of Duty core game there. So like you still have their great map design, but then you have a little bit of Overwatch in there. You got a little bit of like, you know, Rainbow Six style stuff. I mean, because it is a little bit slower. Your character is not as fast as it used to be.
Right.
There's no wall running, so you don't have to worry about that bullshit. You have to heal yourself. So like normally you just get regenerative health, and as you're moving around, you just heal yourself that you get shot or whatever. And this one, you have to be intentional. You have to press X on your keyboard to heal yourself. So it's a quick heal, but it's like 2 seconds or whatever. But you can be in a firefight and like chase a guy and try and kill him, or go and hide with the intention that he might go and heal himself. And then you go and hide yourself to heal yourself. So you have to kind of like make decisions, conscious decisions of how you're going to approach a firefight. It's like, should I do the risk and try and just finish this guy off before he goes to heal himself behind a wall? Or should I go and heal myself and risk maybe getting shot?
Right.
But you control that moment. So you never get healed by the game. You heal yourself and you pick when that objective happens.
I like that.
Yeah. It's a really good system. I mean, it's a simple thing, but it's like makes a world of difference in the combat.
Cause I'd always just run away real quick.
Yeah.
Just wait a second. Hopefully they don't come around the corner, and then hopefully heal.
Yeah.
And if they did come around the corner, I'd shoot them.
Yeah.
Hopefully win.
Yeah. But I don't know. I can see myself, this might be a game that I stick with for a while. Like I'm very pleasantly surprised. It runs great. I had no problems with getting disconnected too much. I had one time where I couldn't get connected to my party.
Right.
But other than that, it was solid. So I'll have more stuff on Blackout and Zombies later on. But like, as far as multiplayer goes, like this is well worth the $60.
I might try to pick it up later when it comes on sale a little bit.
Yeah.
Hopefully around Black Friday, it might go on sale just a little bit, like go down $10.
I bet it will. So I think they're going to make a lot of money off the map on the map packs. Cause we'll talk in the next story about how much money that they made on this game. They're doing really well. So this game has sold beyond expectations.
Is it bad that I just want Call of Duty to die? Well, I've been saying that for a little bit now, but I'm just like, it just needs to end.
I did want it to die, but now I'm just like, no, I don't want to go anywhere. This is great.
I mean, it's good that they found a small refresh for them.
Yeah.
I say small because
not even small, man. This is huge. Like, this is a big...
I say small because it's traditional Call of Duty. They have the zombies. Yeah, the only big major change is that they took out the campaign and now they have...
Got to play it, man.
I have played it.
Played Blackout. I'm telling you, man.
That's the only reason I would get it is for Blackout.
Game changing.
And I don't even want to play Blackout.
Such a negative Nancy over there. I don't know.
Hey, you've been on board with me about this too.
Not until I played it. Now I'm like, fuck yeah.
Well, not just Black I'm just Ops. Call of Duty
Black
in
Ops
general.
Fanboy. I know, but now I'm like, I'm back on the bandwagon.
Gosh darn,
I'm in it again. Like all I want to do is just play Black Ops. Like that's all I want to do. And that's like our crew in Discord. Like that's all they want to play now.
Yeah, I know.
Like Dob was like, I'm done with PUBG. I'm never going back to that again. I'm like, I don't blame you because this is a fucking good game.
Blame them either. I just wish it wasn't good. Call of Duty.
I know.
I don't know. I don't know.
Just gotta give it, man. Gotta give in.
Well, I thought I had fun in the beta, but I thought I'd be more excited about it. I'm just like, this is just another game to try to learn and put suck a lot of time into. I was like, I just don't want to do that. It's because all the time that PUBG,
you know,
well, all the time that PUBG sucked into me.
Right.
And I guess I feel jaded in general with Battle Royales because they're all like betas are incomplete minus Fortnite. But even Fortnite I have a lot of issues with,
well,
even though
Fortnite
it is fun.
Still early access, technically.
See,
it hasn't been out of early access yet. And nobody realizes that, but it's still literally early access. It's crazy.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, Fortnite is the best like the most polished,
yeah,
and well played out of all of them. But I mean, I had issues too. We won't get into that here, but
yeah,
it's just like, do I want to jump into this now? A whole other new thing to master.
If you
want to
play with your friends,
I don't.
Okay. All right. Well, if anybody wants to play at Bray, hit me up. I will, you just got to pay $1 a month and you can get our Discord channel. It'd be great. We'd love to play with you. So with that, we're going to wrap it up for the games we play. We've been running on this train for a little bit, but we're going to go play some more Black Ops. But actually, no, we're going to talk about some news. So don't forget, if you like what you hear, head over to theinnergamer.net, click that donate button to contribute. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with our video game news. We got a lot to talk about and it's going to be epic. Okay. Bye.
You're listening to The Inner Gamer.
It is time for our video game news. In this segment, we share the best, ultimate, awesome headlines from the week in the gaming industry. And this week, first up, we have last segment, we talked about Black Ops 4. I did. This guy right here.
You okay, Brett?
And I was like super hyped about Black Ops 4. I'm okay.
Did you have a brain injury or something?
Surviving. Again? Yeah. No.
Not again. Okay,
it's
good.
It's just still there. It still exists.
Still lingers.
Okay. But Black Ops 4 sales, according to GameInformer.com, have exceeded a lot of money. It has made, in the last, according to reports from the Call of Duty general manager and vice president, they are doing really, really well. They have made $500 million in 3 days. Now, if you break that down based on days and seconds in time, that is roughly $1,900 per second. Call of Duty Black Ops 4. So it's apparently awesome. People are buying the shit out of it. Even with no single player. Even though single player.
I mean, crazy. Jog my memory, Brett. Was there like any kind of sort of controversy at all about people not having single player in this?
There was actually a lot of
controversy. I know we're like, is it going to be good?
Well, I guess it's not a lot of controversy, but there was just shock.
Okay.
That they were actually pulling out and making a Call of Duty game. I think we were.
We're pretty on board with it.
Yeah, I think we had to talk about that.
Go back to that, guys.
We were sad. Like, I was sad. I remember talking, like, I do enjoy the single player experience, but now I'm like totally on board. I'm like, okay, yeah. Call of Duty, I'm fine without having it.
Yes, we know, Brett.
Let Red Dead do their thing with their freaking awesome, you know, single player story. You know, let Bethesda do their thing with their stories and all that. Call of Duty can just make multiplayer great again. It's good. So,
I guess doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. So their player count and hours are up over year. Their viewership on Twitch has set new standards and showing just how fun Blackout is to play and watch. The weekend results yet again put Call of Duty at the highest tier of entertainment, and they're just getting started. So this is going to be a service, as is most situations these days, and I am hyped out of my mind for this.
Well, I am glad that they don't have a campaign to lean on, you know, like that's not their thing. They're going to lean on this year, which is great. It's fine.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just can't believe this game has been around for so freaking long. I guarantee you'll be around as long as
17
up
years
to like when we both have kids. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's just going to be little us running around being like, yeah, Call of Duty. I'd be like,
Call of Duty would be like Star Wars. It's never going to die. Never gonna go away.
Like, son, pack your bags. You're out of here.
Yeah.
Get out of this house.
No, it'll be good. I really like it. Speaking of money though, Star Citizen, the game that is never gonna come out, is they just launched a new trailer showing off their Squadron 42 story campaign that's gonna be coming out sometime. Never. And they announced a Alpha 3.3 test release. And in Alpha 3.3, you are able to use your webcam and microphone to map both your voice and facial expressions onto your in-game character, according to PC Gamer's article regarding this. And after that happened, in roughly a week, they made about $1 million added to their campaign, which puts them around 195 million, and they could reach 200 million by the end of the year. So this is a game that is still in alpha. It hasn't been released yet. It's been in development forever. It's using the Amazon Lumberyard game engine. So it's got that going for it, which is pretty cool. And yeah, it's just, I don't know when it's going to come out ever. But they just had their CitizenCon down in Austin. And that's when they announced some of this new stuff. They're on Alpha 3.2 now, so that's cool. They're making progress. They have a new website too, which is actually really pretty. It looks a lot better than it used to before. But they have a ship in this game that you can buy. Anvil Valkyrie dropship will cost you $330 of USD. That's after you've already bought the game.
Let me just get my wallet out. Oh, wait. I'm broke.
I don't have a wallet anymore because they took my money. Yeah.
$1 million of my own money.
Yeah, I know. Dude, it's freaking crazy.
Look, I'm glad that people enjoy this game and are supporting it, as we all should. Support the games that you enjoy playing, right? So the companies keep making more games. But this game is still, I mean, it's not complete. There's nothing going on here. Like, yes, there's stuff to play. That's great. I'm glad that they're dropping content along the way. But how long has this game been in development at this point?
A long ass time.
Long ass time. They have this amazing campaign, apparently, which has like every freaking sci-fi, you know, known to man, like sci-fi actor that is like really good. Scully's in there. Then you have Luke Skywalker and you have Gary Oldman, which I don't know what sci-fi character he's played.
Mark Hamill, Gary Oldman, Gillian Anderson, Mark Strong, Andy Serkis.
Boom.
And John Rhys Davies.
It's just like, what? I mean, if they drop more like, hey, look at behind the scenes of us making this game and look at all the like stuff we're putting into it. But for me, I don't know. I don't keep up with it. So maybe, I mean, I probably know, I know nothing, but I would be more pumped and excited and be hyped about this game if they drop more things along the way like other games do. You know what I mean? Because I know Senua's Sacrifice, they did that.
Yeah.
So it's just like, what's happening with this game? Obviously, they're making stuff, but when is it coming out?
August 31st of 2012 is when they started the campaign.
Oh my gosh.
And as of now, so this article was written last week and it had 195,000 roughly that they had. Now they're up to $198 million.
Make the game. You have enough money.
2,110,000 Star Citizens have contributed to this campaign. That is crazy. And they have all these stretch goals that they keep adding and adding more and more stuff. Like their stretch goals are so huge and long and extended. It's just like going on and on forever. What is their current stretch goal? They stopped at $65 million and they're just like, we're done with stretch goals. I just don't know what to do anymore.
Yeah, there's just nothing else.
Yeah. Anyway, but I just thought that was really, it's just amazing that again, yeah, since 2012, this game has been in development. It's as of last year, it had reached 6 years of being in development and it's still in Alpha 3.2 and it continues to make more and more money. It's fascinating. Absolutely fascinating.
They're doing something right, I guess.
Yeah. No, people are hyped on this. They're all about it.
Did you buy the $60 package or was that just me?
I think I bought the $60 or $80 package probably. Okay. I don't even know what I paid for as I haven't logged into it in forever. So for all I know, I could have paid $150. I don't really know. I don't even know where the receipt is anymore. I just don't know. It's been so long.
Yeah, I know. Well, I got it and I was like excited for it because they did that whole thing where like, look at this massive world, that, like planets you can go into and stuff, and you know, now it's like that got me hyped. I think that would get anybody hyped. The fidelity and scale of this game they're trying to make, like they have the money to do something like that, and I just want to see more of that. But we really haven't seen more of that, and they keep teasing us with all this stuff, and it's been since 2012, so like 8 years now. It's like, release a dang game. You have something. Like,
yeah,
I understand the scale they're trying to take is just godly, you know. I don't know any other game who's tried to do that. What is that one game coming out with the monkey? Dang, I don't know why it escaped me. It was shown at E3. Beyond Good and Evil 2.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like they're trying to do the same thing, but they actually got like, well, I guess they just have test footage as well, so it's not really a thing to talk about, honestly. Yeah. Anyway, I just like to see something more. Right now, it just seems like a big money scheme. People enjoy it. So, I mean, I guess put your money where you want to. If it's something, they're providing a service, but I don't think it's the service that they promise. And if they change their gears, like I want them to communicate that to us. Like, hey, we'll get this out eventually, but we're really focusing on this other stuff right now. And I think that it's working that way. You know, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that's where we are with that game. I got to figure out what my login is so I can actually get into this and find out what I have. That's a whole other story.
Oh, man.
So Discord, the service that we've come to love for communicating with our friends online. No more TeamSpeak necessary. No more Ventrilo. If you're a PC gamer, you know and love Discord very, very much. You can be part of multiple groups. It's just like Slack except for video games and everything. They just now launched their beta of their new store, which was announced back in August in every region. So when you log into Discord now, you can go to the store icon and you can literally buy games within Discord. And those games that you buy in Discord are there. And if you have games that you've purchased in other platforms, you can tie them into Discord just like you can with Steam. So they're trying to be a Steam competitor here, which is pretty intense. They're going to see what they can do. I don't know if they, I mean, they don't have the Valve lineup of games that they were able, that Valve was able to use to kind of kickstart them, but they have some things that they're doing that's going to help them a little bit in regards to having exclusive titles. So there's some games that are coming out that are like timed exclusives to the Discord store for a period of time. Right now they are smaller indie titles and stuff like that, but they do have those capabilities. They also have a new subscription service called Nitro that is going to allow you to pay $9.99 a month and you can get games that are free to download as long as you're paying for the service. So games like This War of Mine, Soma, Inside, as well as some other games that are older but big games like Metro Last Light, Redux, Brutal Legend, Psychonauts. There's 60 games at launch and it's $9.99 a month to get this platform. So that's what's up with Discord. What do you think?
Well, the pricing is pretty spot on, especially if you haven't played these games. I see what they're doing here. I think it's a good thing, but I don't think we need it. And I don't know how. I don't see this panning out well for.
It's gonna be hard for them to tap. It's gonna be hard for them to tap into it because, like, Microsoft's doing a huge push on their own store, right?
Right. Yeah.
On PC, especially, and then Steam's already the big juggernaut that they are. So, like, being able to, I mean, they have a tough uphill battle to do in order for this to happen.
Right.
So I don't know.
I think they should have done. I don't know if they did do it like a beta or a trial of this. They should have.
Well, this is the beta.
Well, what I'm saying is, like, well, it's going to cost $10, right?
Oh, you mean the subscription service?
No.
That's just an add-on portion to it.
But that's how you get the games, right? Or you can just buy the games on this platform.
Yeah, no, you buy it. Yeah, so there's a store.
I thought you were saying that you get... Okay.
But then Nitro is an additional subscription service that you can get. And some of the games within the store are free games you can download. So it's kind of like how Microsoft has their Microsoft Store, and then they have the Game Pass that you pay for. And this is just like the Game Pass in which what you buy, you download these games, you don't stream them. So they're downloadable games as long as your subscription service is active.
Right.
But that's just one piece of the bigger puzzle, which is you can now buy games within Discord. So, and big games too.
I mean, Metro Last Light is a good game. If you haven't got it, you might as well either get a subscription or just buy it on here. But again, like... Yeah. I don't know how you compete. Like, I use Discord to chat and to type. Like, it is like our forum area where we get to communicate with our community. I don't jump on there to play games per se. I jump on them to talk to people while I'm playing games. Like, I don't know. It just isn't meshing well with my thought process. You know what I mean? I see what they're trying to do. They're trying to stay relevant because Steam could easily push them out of the market right now if their platform takes off with their chat service and everything. Which is good. There's competition here, but
well, it's like their goal. Both of the goals are they want you to just have one place you go to do everything.
No, I understand.
And right now, everybody's using Steam for their games, and using Discord for their chat,
right?
So Discord's like, well, let's see if we can disrupt that game system and add a games library to it, and then maybe eventually get to where people aren't using Steam anymore,
right?
But that again, that's a really really hard thing to do because there is so much you have to deal with to get to that point. Like, I mean,
we're just comparing.
You have a powerhouse.
Yeah. like, it's going to be hard to disrupt Steam, but Steam can easily, like, right now they're mirrored with each other, Steam and Discord, technically, in all intents and purposes. And so I don't think Discord can win out at all, like, whatsoever.
Yeah.
Like, they have a good community, but I know some people just use Discord to chat and just, you know, type, you know, text chat and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's like they don't even use it for games, you know? It's just a place to go and, you know, communicate with people.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's pretty actively used for games.
Well, no, I know that. Like, but I'm just saying that there is a base that doesn't even care about games.
Yeah.
Now, how big that group is, I don't know, but yeah.
It's definitely, I mean, this is a gaming chat platform.
Bro, oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
what it's centered around.
Yeah, no.
But
no
then
doubt,
people have
no
started
doubt.
Building it to where, like, if you're building a game and you're developing a game, instead of having a forum, they now have a Discord channel that you can join into. And that's how you can keep in touch and communicate with your fan base, is they have that. So, yeah, there is a lot of, like, communities that have formed out of it. There's a lot of, like, in the programming world, like game programmers or just programmers in general, there's a lot of programming meetup, like, groups, communities that you can join within Discord and, like, chat with that. So there is that subgenre or that subcategory of people that are just here just to chat, but it's still largely based around, you know, the gaming situation where,
right.
And that's why, like, you know, you look at your friends list, you can always see what they're playing at that moment.
Right. So I think that's
fully
nice.
Integrated into, like, the service. But I think it's smart for them to add this in here. Just because it, like, makes, I mean, it's, I think it's a more, I mean, it's a good option, but they're going to have to figure out a way to separate themselves, because
yeah, I just don't see it.
Right now their library is indie games. That's majority of what's in here.
Right.
And that
fine.
Could be interesting. That could be the route that they go, is just focus on indie titles.
Right.
And then, cause Steam is getting hard to separate, like, to break away and be, you know, stand out inside of, Steam, because there's so many indie games coming out. So maybe if you jump on as a timed exclusive on Discord, you might have a chance to get, more exposure, because, like, for example, the highlight when you log in right now, first on Discord, you have Minion Masters, which I've never heard of, but that sounds like a big game. At Sundown, the game that we've been playing and following from Versus Evil,
right?
That's the first on Discord game. So that's nice. You can only get it on PC
Very
on
nice.
Discord. Celeste is featured on here, so it's the first time it's come out on PC. It's on here. Inside's on here as a Nitro game. Bad North is first on Discord. It was just a Switch exclusive. Now it's on here. So there's a lot. They're getting some games in here, but they're all indie games.
Right.
And I think that could be cool if they keep it with that.
Yeah, no, they should totally. That's a good route to go.
It's going to be hard to get, like, Call of Duty. On,
right.
Well, you won't
right.
get Call of Duty because it's right. Battle.net, but... Yeah, but this is just another platform that has segmented the market more, because you have the big AAA companies that are trying to keep people on their own platforms. So
there's,
like,
too many freaking platforms.
Yeah,
Bethesda has many. Their little, you know, Bethesda,
launcher,
Uplay, Ubisoft. It's just, there's so much. Every time I jump into a game, I miss the days where, luckily, they still put, you know, the quick launch on the desktop. But can you imagine just having to go through each of those? Just to open the game. I mean, I do it already, but I don't know. It's just sometimes I like to... It's nice that it's all in... Like, Steam is obviously a huge-ass library, but I don't know. Yeah. Unless they come up with a gimmick that these games can tie into Discord in a way that makes, like, added feature of using Discord, that might help out a little bit. You know, it's a unique thing that you want to go there and play. I don't know. But only time will tell. I know they have a huge audience or, you know, user base, so... It could succeed.
Yeah.
They market it right.
I mean, it's good. It's a good platform. I mean, the way the store page is really nice, the way that they have it set up, like when you go in to, like, buy a game, the way that they have it laid out is really cool. They have videos, images. It works really well. It's not super choppy. They tell you, like, front and center why you might like it. So they have, like, staff picks. So they have, like, somebody from Discord that, like, writes a little bit about why this is a good game. They tell you what platforms it's for, what features it has on the sidebar, if there's any associated Discord servers with it, the system, like, there's, it's a really nice layout. Like, the design, Discord is designed really well.
Right.
And that's, I think, what they have going for them the most, is that factor. And it runs great. So it'll be interesting. But yeah, I think they need to find a niche, or it's gonna be tough. To disrupt them. Or what's going to happen is Steam is just going to say, hey, we're going to buy you. And that's a big possibility. Because they could technically buy Discord, I mean, and have them reface Steam to be a Discord.
Right. So, right. I mean, I'd be okay with that.
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know. That's kind of a monopoly. I don't know. I don't want to feel bad.
It's all a monopoly these days.
Yes, it is. Everyone's become a monopoly.
All anyway. Right. So Battlefield 5 is one of those games that I'm like, I was really hyped for it. And it's as more and more stuff comes out, it's just, it's hard to get excited about this game with all these other games that are so much more hoo-ah and different. Like, it's, I don't know. It's tough.
We're all over the place this fall. Yeah.
The single player campaign trailer came out. They unveiled a Hollywood actor, Mark Strong, as a narrator of the game. There's a lot of intense scenes of different scenarios happening. You have, it's, again, they're doing the war stories in this situation. So you'll have your very tightly told stories. And it is interesting that they're approaching it from a more untold stories of World War II. So it's not like your stuff that you've known throughout life. They're telling different types of stories. But there's, it's a very diverse trailer because you have like a all black squad that's in the game. You have a woman that you're following throughout the game that has a story behind her and what she's doing, trekking over a towering snowy mountain with explosions and all that stuff, and a lot of different types of stuff. But I don't know. I don't know. It's just, it's really cool looking. But nothing about it was like, oh man, this is badass.
Cause yeah.
At this point, it's just like, it's a Battlefield looking trailer.
Right, right. I mean, it's just showing us the stories and getting us prepared for it, which is fine. But in the Battlefield 1 trailer, there's a lot more action going on. More of like, you know, nitty gritty. You're in the thick of it. Like, you're going to feel war, you know? I'm not going to say Saving Private Ryan-ish, but, you know, it kind of leans that way. You right. know, like, it's, you're in it. And this one was kind of more chill in a way.
It wasn't
a lot of action going on here. Just kind of like, here are these characters, here's some set pieces,
yeah,
here's where you're going to be, and just get ready for that. And the other ones, there's, you know, after watching it again and after playing through it, like, you kind of see the pieces that they're kind of putting together there, like Brotherhood and like fighting against, you know, fighting with your fellow comrades and trying to survive. And I think that is war. You know, what is war? What is the battlefield? And that's what I want to see in a trailer. And this one was like, okay, I'm glad I know what's to expect, but at the same time, it wasn't anything like too flashy. They got someone,
they need to
going down a hill
a
with the
battle, like, they need to drop what their battle royale is like.
Yeah, they
more
should.
Than what they like, they need to reveal that sooner rather than later, because it's getting down to the nitty gritty and nobody knows what it is. Other than like the flaming fire ring that's coming after you. But
right.
I don't know. But it looks good. But and I'm glad that there's at least one of the Battlefield Call of Duty things that has a single player story. But I actually never finished Battlefield 1's war stories, which is bad. I feel like I need to finish it.
It was good. It was very good. Surprisingly, for something so short.
Yeah. Yeah. I like the way they did that. I think if they're going to keep single player, like, that's the way to do it.
Oh yeah,
to tell condensed stories like this, you know, little
release
episodic
over
pieces that just like slip you into this period of time and
yes,
experience
yes.
a tight knit story. So it's cool. Anyway, man, do you remember Dreadnought?
Yes, I do. I used to love Dreadnought.
So Dreadnought's getting some layoffs happening.
No,
here. They're struggling. Developer Sixfoot has confirmed that there are layoffs happening. They're having some money struggles. Mm-hmm. They're struggling to keep the game afloat a little bit. And there's going to be some major changes coming to the company structure, including continuing development of Dreadnought as a live product. Everyone on the games team was given an option to stay and continue working on the game or begin searching for other opportunities with the support of the company and the aid of the staffing team while receiving pay in the interim. This was confirmed by Imran Khan on Game Informer. And new updates on the status were delivered to the full team every 2 weeks from there. And then they have currently reduced about a third of their game dev workforce, and they're continuing to make available the full resources of the company to try to help those affected and their families land on their feet as quick as possible. So they're going through a telltale kind of situation, not shutting down, but they're definitely severely cutting the workforce because of the high cost of everything.
What's happening this year? We have all these amazing, great games coming out, they're mostly sequels, like big, huge year, and yet we still have these companies who are starting to shut down left and right.
It's because it's hard. I mean, it's such a flooded market now, and everybody is going the live service route that trying to, like, you know, you're trying to cut into people's time, and people have 24 hours
so
a day.
So many games are coming
out. And eight
out.
Of which you're sleeping.
Yeah.
Eight of which you're working. So that leaves 8 hours of your day that you have to eat, hang out with your family, and play video games.
Or
go out and go to entertainment and stuff.
That's
like,
why I don't go out anymore.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, that's such a limited time.
It's so bad.
And it's like I told somebody the other day, I was like, literally in my day, I have the amount of time I have every single day of my life is less than I can count on one hand. Every single day. That's what it's become. And like, and you got to squeeze in video games in there. And it's like, that's why so many people like are one game gamers, you know,
because
they can't fit anything else. And it's,
I understand.
So it's just a sad state of stuff. I don't know how you can fix it, you know, but.
Well, it's easier and easier to make a game. So more and more people, or that barrier of entry is just almost basically nothing.
Yeah.
And so everyone's making games now. And it is like, if you have a good marketing team and you have the budget, you're going to get more people to look at your stuff, you know. And if you're lucky, you can get noticed at one of these conventions maybe, and then, you know, someone will pick it up. But even then, you know, nothing might happen, especially if you're just a one-man band or some indie team, you know.
Yeah.
You'd just be happy that someone finds your game and enjoys it, you know, and you have a handful of people who want to follow you and donate money to you. I think Kickstarter is becoming a better way for people to get recognized, because it's like, oh man, look at this campaign that got funded in like 5 days. You know, I've been on Kickstarter a lot lately, and so I've been like following these tabletop games. Dude, this is ridiculous.
Yeah,
but it's the same with, you know, these video games too. Like Once Upon a Coma, like that's a Kickstarter one,
right?
So it got some recognition from that, and people start telling people about that. I don't know, just another way to get your name out there.
Yeah. So I've had the opposite effect with Kickstarter. I've stopped investing in Kickstarter games completely because I've been burned too many times.
Yeah.
I've been burned. Yeah. Like, I probably 80% of the campaigns I've backed, I've been burned by in some capacity.
Dang.
Whether it be a lack of either the game didn't deliver what it promised, it didn't deliver enough for what you paid for it, or it still hasn't delivered.
Yeah.
And it's, but like, I have one game I backed 3 years ago, and it still hasn't come out yet. And it's a simple game. It's on Star Citizen level, you know.
Right,
it's a simple game.
Man.
And it still hasn't released yet. So like that kind of stuff, it's like after a while you just stop doing it, you know?
Yeah.
But I think that's why like Steam Early Access is so important and stuff like that, because those games can do that and make it funny. And that's what they mentioned in here, was that you know, they felt like the Dreadnought, the reason why it failed was that it launched too late. And it came out too late and didn't get enough stuff out there. So there wasn't enough money to help fund the growth and development that they needed to keep it going.
So we did an interview with one of the creators of this game. So if you want to go check it out, go to youtube.com/innergamer, or you can search Pack South Dreadnought, the Inner Gamer.
Yep.
It should pop up. Anyway, they've been to multiple PAX before, and PAX South. So... And their booth on that PAX that we went to was ginormous.
It's huge.
Like, they put a lot of money into promoting their game at multiple PAXs. And at this one, they were the centerpiece of it. Like, as soon as you walk in, they had a giant booth. Oh, no, it was a great game. And I was like, man, this is awesome that they're going to have this free game for everyone to play. It already plays really well. And the only thing people can buy are cosmetics. Now, Travis, who was on a few casts ago, he is a huge fan of this game. He used to play it all the time. I was like, man, why don't you play with me? And I was like, I just don't want to, because they reworked a lot of the systems and stuff like that. And got to the point where he even stopped playing because it became pay to win.
Yeah.
It became, you're not buying cosmetics anymore. You're buying like tokens to speak, because they redid all the leveling system. So it was now like a tree. So each tree you can go down for each ship, and then it just gets better and better. But you'd have to have certain currency in order to unlock certain things over time. So you had to play longer in order to get this currency, or you can just buy the bundles to unlock some of this stuff. And, you know, if you pre-ordered it, you got some of the currency already. And then they finally implemented that later. We reworked how that worked out. And then it just became pay to win. And it's like, that's not fun.
No, no.
So now this happened. And I'm not surprised, honestly. I'm not surprised. And I know why they went pay to win.
Right.
They needed more money.
Yeah.
So they had to rework the way they wanted their game to be if they wanted to survive.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I think they did release too late. They should have released like a year before we even saw them. And
yeah, they
isn't there a game that came out that was similar to this right before or right after?
Not that I can think of.
I thought there was one kind of like it. Anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? I think it was just similar to For Honor. I think that's what I'm thinking of.
Probably.
In that regard. Anyway, it sucks because they have a decent game. And one of the guys said here is on the article, "I'm scared out of my mind right now," one developer said, after being told about the option. "I'm scared shitless."
Yeah.
It sucks. You work so hard on something and then... But I guess that's the name of the game. That's just how it goes.
The game. Yep. Speaking of games, if you have an Xbox One, you're in luck because several Valve games are now looking better. They went out of their... I guess what they did was they just decided to take the Orange Box bundle and or games in the Orange Box bundle and come out with an update that had enhanced 21 of the Xbox 360 games. And of those, it included enhancements with Portal, Left 4 Dead, Left 4 Dead 2. Yeah. So... The Orange Box, Portal is still alive, Left 4 Dead, and Left 4 Dead 2 are now Xbox One X enhanced. And they can, quote, run at higher resolution and 9 times the original pixel count when played on the Xbox One X. So
I'm glad you guys can play very old games.
Wouldn't you love to go back to the next Left 4 Dead that looks a little bit better, man? Yeah, you would.
I have, because I have it on Steam and I play it.
See? Yeah. But it would be 9 times better.
We're in the storm, okay? We're in the eye of the storm. There's so many games coming out. No one has time to go back and play these games, okay?
A lot of people do. They just do that and they just skip the storm. They just don't want to do the storm anymore.
Missing out, guys. You're missing out.
I know. Missing out.
That's you, Brett.
I don't know. Well, I don't know. It seems like they're not missing out. Apparently, all the games that you've been playing lately haven't been very good. So maybe they're not missing out. Assassin's Creed was bad. Shadow of the Tomb Raider was bad. What else is bad?
Yeah, but you still got Spider-Man. You still got God of War. You got Red Dead coming out next week.
We'll skip those two.
What about Call of Duty?
Well, I'm talking you. Me, I love everything.
Oh, well, yeah. You love everything?
Everything.
I don't think so.
Everything.
I mean, it's cool that it plays better.
Yeah.
But it's just an upgrade. Do you still have to buy this? How much does it cost?
No, it just comes with it. If you own it. Well, yeah, if you own the game, it's upgraded.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So... There you go.
I mean,
and if you have like the backwards compatibility, like that comes out, like it's part of it.
Look, okay, good for obviously there is a fan base out there.
There's
wants
no
to play
negative
this.
To this. It's awesome. Let's
I'm
move
saying,
on. Okay,
why
cool.
can't they Moving focus on something else? Like, give us a freaking first party title.
Well, no, this was just something that they just did as part of the backwards compatibility. I don't know if this is like a Valve thing. They just like
I know
just throw some new textures in here. You're good to go.
If it wasn't a Valve thing, it was a Microsoft thing. It's like you're wasting your time. Why do this? Why not focus your thing somewhere else?
I want it. I'm going to go get it right now.
No, you're not.
I'm going to go get it right now.
Call you out, Brett.
It's great.
Anyway.
Well, so there's a new Battle Royale game that was announced. Again, another one. But this one's pretty freaking cool. It's called Spellbreak.
Oh.
And it is a game that has a lot of fantasy art styles to it. The animations have like an anime kind of look to them as they happen, but you can fling elemental magic spells at each other and do all kinds of cool things. So you have a shorthand, like a lighter attack, and then a heavier attack that could be like a bomb explosion or some kind of like magic explosion, or you can turn like the platform you're on into ice and freeze everything on there. Throw fireballs and all kinds of stuff. And it's all a magic spell. So you have 2 enchanted gauntlets your character wears. And then what you equip depends on the class you are. There's 11 classes, and each one deals different types of damage. You have fire, ice, lightning, stone, wind, and poison damage. You can combo them together, so you could have a poison cloud and then something that sets on fire to create a giant poisonous inferno, for example. So you can like combo the different types of elements together. And each gauntlet has a primary and secondary fire. So the poison gauntlet has a focused spray for poison, and the secondary is a big poison bomb. But man, you watch this trailer, like the effects are really cool because the world itself is kind of is like realistic, but the effects have like this, you know, like cell shaded look to it, and looks pretty sick.
I haven't liked everything else today, but this looks badass.
Yeah, basically, this Austin's all about like visuals and like bright colors.
Well, there's like a lot of things happening here, which seems to me that like there's a lot of planning, there's a lot of strategy, there's a lot of you know, placement of your character, and like obviously there's ruins in this area with hills and trees and stuff, and to go around, and obviously you have the circle, so it looks awesome. And it, basically this is Mystic Melee, which is made by a local dev around here, and put in battle royale in the 3D space. That's what it looks like to me, and that looks sweet. So Mystic Melee actually has these power, like you can choose up to, what is it, six characters, something like that.
I don't remember.
And they each have like different abilities, and but it, you're kind of in a, like a Celeste looking area that's just, you know, you can go up and down.
It's
kind of side scrolling looking thing, and yeah, you can get abilities and stuff. Count me in, man. Count me in. Is this an alpha? Pre-alpha?
Hell yes. Pre-alpha, yeah. You can sign up to test it at playspellbreak.com.
I'm doing it right now. Yeah, right now.
So it's pretty, and you can become a founder, which will give you guaranteed early access to Spellbreak for you and some friends potentially, and exclusive skins and loot, and support the development of the game. Right now, they have the limited edition founder pack, which is $99.99, and gives you one key for all future test phases, three pre-alpha keys for friends, the founder role in Discord and dev chat, access to the test server when available, and at launch, you get exclusive mage in-game avatar, exclusive battle mage in-game avatar and badge, exclusive master in-game avatar and badge, exclusive limited edition founder badge and emote, and more coming soon. Or you can just apply for the program.
Yeah, I'm just going to apply because we need to talk to these devs. We should talk to them. This looks cool.
Yeah.
I like
the
style.
So what is about this that you like? It's just like the action. It's magic and stuff.
So, I mean,
you like flashy things.
I do like Battle Royale. Okay. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. Now we've been doing the whole, you know, pick up guns and run around and shoot stuff.
Yep.
Now I'm pretty sure this is like later in the game because they have a bunch of people fighting each other and whatnot. But like they have like abilities instead of a gun, and there's a lot more movement around here. You can jump around and stuff. And I mean, it's changing up the game enough where it looks exciting. That's what I'm excited about.
Right.
It's different. Same thing, but different.
Right.
Very different.
Very different.
And yeah, I'm trying to think of a game that's very similar to that. I want to say Halo in the degree to the sense of like you have those abilities from Halo 3 and Halo Reach.
Yeah.
So like that, I'm getting flashbacks of that.
Yeah.
Like good placed ability or good placed deployable item that saves you and you're able to get a bunch of kills. Anyway, I wonder how you have to deal with mana and stuff.
I don't know, man.
Or even pick up anything. Interesting. Yeah. And I like the style. The actual visual style is very cool.
You know what it reminds me of? Do you guess?
I have no idea.
Dauntless.
Ah, yes.
Very Dauntless looking. And the art, even the typography and stuff like that, the world, very Dauntless.
Right.
So it's cool. Yeah. All right, now for our topic of discussion, we have brought in together several articles. As we all know, next week on the 26th, we have Red Dead Redemption 2 coming out. And there was an article written on Vulture that was a story with the writer whose name is known as Harold Goldberg. And he got invited out to Rockstar Games in Manhattan to talk with them about the process of Red Dead Redemption 2, the making of the Western world of Red Dead Redemption 2. And it's a very interesting article. It's a little lengthy. It's got a probably printed out. It's like 6-7 pages long or something like that. But it's got a lot of good information in it, especially about like the details behind the building of the game. And one of the things that they mention in this is the fact that The biggest controversy that came out of it was that there was a part where he mentioned that they worked 100-hour weeks sometimes in 2018, which was later clarified that that was basically him and his writing team for like 2 or 3 weeks, maybe max, and that was about it. But people thought like, oh my gosh, this is like an example of like they work too hard and we need to like shut things down and like stop this from happening, blah, blah, blah. So there's a lot of stuff with that. But it's a really interesting article if you go and read it to learn about just the depth of this game, because for example, the game itself is roughly, it's about a 2000 page script for the main story, which is a lot. And in addition, they hired 1200 actors, all SAG-AFTRA, or AFTRA, 700 of them with dialogue. They are the biggest employers of actors of anybody in New York, which is crazy. So they employ more actors in New York than anybody else. And when they did motion capture, it would last 2 to 3 weeks. There were meetings 4 hours each day for 4 days. They wanted as tight as possible because they burn a lot of money through those sessions. And in addition to that, the finished game has 300,000 animations, 500,000 lines of dialogue, and many more lines of code. Even for the RDR2 trailer and commercial, they probably made 70 versions. And the editors made several hundred. And then they finally settled on what they wanted to release. They go into talking a little bit about just like building the game and like the soundtrack, where they have 192 interactive mission scores, which is crazy. It's a really interesting story about what all went into the development of this game and just how deep it's going to be. I'm impressed by it. But they also mentioned that like the game is going to be roughly 60 hours long. They actually cut 5 hours of content out because it was just stuff that they felt like just didn't work. So there's like whole stories that they just cut out because it was just too much.
The DLC?
It might be DLC. Who knows? And I'm just like, man, that's wild. So they started this back in 2011. Like, that's a long time ago.
It's
7 years in the making. And they are going all over the place with it. So we had the trailer that came out this week, the launch trailer. Finally, we have some story stuff to learn about, which is awesome. Basically, what's happening, set in 1899, the end of the Wild West era is coming as lawmen are hunting down the last remaining outlaw gangs that exist. So this is like a turning point of the Wild West. And those who don't surrender or give in are killed. So robbery goes bad in the western town of Blackwater. Arthur Morgan and the Vanderlyn gang are forced to flee. With federal agents and the best bounty hunters in the nation massing on their heels, the gang must rob, steal, and fight their way across the heartland of America to survive. As deepening internal divisions threaten to tear the gang apart, Arthur must make a choice between his own ideals and loyalty to the gang who raised him. So that's the bread and butter of our story. And in this, you see a lot of those interactions between the lawmen and the gang themselves and like what Arthur's struggling with. And so now we know what this game is all about a little bit, at least like a brief bit of it. And I like that. Like, I really think it's cool. What do you think about it?
Oh, no. I think finally we get a trailer.
Right?
I've been waiting for. And it puts a lot of things in context, at least more so than it did before. I think there's still some gray area, which I really do believe that will help the story. Like, you don't know everything, you know, just enough to get you going.
Yeah.
Like, you kind of know the general direction that you're going to jump into. And so I like that. And I think it's set, you know, with all the story beats being released, I think it's kind of that we know of. Like, I'm pumped.
It's going to be hard for people to review this game.
Yes.
Because like, they don't want to give away. I mean, if it is a story, if it has the impact that the first game did, I'm afraid that it's going to, like, people don't want to do spoilers, right? Like, you don't want people that, like, you don't want to ruin the moments that they encounter in that. So, like, I don't know how people are going to come out and review this without, like, giving away spoil. I mean, because there's so much content.
Yes.
I mean, 60 hours for just the story itself, that's a lot.
Yeah.
And then you're going to have RDR Online, which we don't even know when that's coming out yet. They basically said it'll be ready when it's ready. But
totally fine with that.
You don't need it because, like, you have so much stuff in this game you can deal with, you know?
I mean, that's just the main game. I mean, who knows how long the side quests will be, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And hopefully those are just as thought out as I'm sure they will be as thought out as the main story.
Right.
Just to like give you some context, a normal like hour and a half movie is roughly 95 to 125 pages.
Yeah.
That's a normal movie.
Yeah. So like one page is like a minute and screen time, right?
Yeah, something like that. So it's kind of like 2,000 pages. Holy shit.
Yeah.
That's and they even said ridiculous.
Like NPC characters who you don't ever interact with alone have 80 pages of script to themselves.
Right.
So the 2,000 pages is just like the story. And then you have all these other little pieces of script that aren't even included. And he mentioned in here that like he's just throwing out numbers. This is Dan Houser that I'm referring to. He's like the creative mind behind all this. He basically said that if you were to stack all the papers on top of each other for the entire game script, it'd be like 8 feet tall. Just nuts. That's like a shit ton of paper.
Well, I mean, they have like $6 billion from Grand Theft Auto. They better well make a 2,000 page script for this game.
Yeah. I don't quite agree with that per se, but I don't want them to like have to push too hard.
No,
we have this like intense expectation of them having to like so far one up each. And it's hard. I mean, they're in a difficult position because they're always having to like overly one up themselves every time. Cause we have expectations of them doing,
I'm not saying
way
they
greater
should,
than ever.
Not saying they should one up themselves.
Yeah.
They have the resources to do what they want and tell an amazing story.
Yeah.
And they don't have to hold back. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Like they can go as far as they want and they can take as long as they need and spend as much money as they need in order to make this game an amazing game.
And for them, because they don't have to market or anything. I mean, they've never been to E3. They don't ever go to E3, which they don't have to because this game will sell itself because of how, like, people know Rockstar. People know what the kind of games are going to produce. And this is the little bit of trailers, like for me, like they didn't have to show much. And I'm like, damn, this is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
So visually, it's awesome. So another component I wanted to talk about with this is that they came out with an article or they came out with a little bit of information about how they don't want to hire famous actors anymore.
Thank you.
Which I thought was really interesting. So Dan Houser said that they moved away from hiring name actors in recent games, citing, quote, egos and player immersion. So when they were doing this Vulture article, one of the things that he mentioned was, we don't bring in name actors anymore because of their egos, and most important of all, because we believe we get a better sense of immersion using talented actors whose voices you don't recognize. And that right there, that component, I think is really key. Because, I mean, like, there's a lot of great actors out there who haven't been discovered yet. But if you put, like, you put Harrison Ford in there, you have an image in your head of who this person is, even if you're just hearing their voice, because you know that person.
Right.
But if you don't, like, you're not putting a picture of who this character is from a previous character that they played in the past.
Exactly.
And again, like egos, like, yeah, it's great. Like, I heard there's some big name actors out there that have some huge egos.
This is one of the issues I heard about for the Witcher series on Netflix.
Yeah.
Is that you have, what's his face? Henry Cavill doing that. And when you see him, unless they really like change him up, which is possible, and he gets the acting right to play Geralt, it's going to be hard to believe. You're just going to see Superman or Henry Cavill the whole time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So
it'll be tough.
And this is why I think Lord of the Rings was very successful, the movies.
Yeah.
Is because you took some lesser known actors who have acting skill and have been in movies, so they get it, and you're able to make them unique and make them feel the part without being pulled, sucked out of that.
Yeah.
Cause you know, So this is perfect. And I wish they would do this. They do this for a lot of games, but I wish they do this for all games. Cause like we see Star Citizen and it's just packed with famous actors. And it's like, that's cool. Like, you know, it's fine.
One approach for it.
Yeah. But yeah. It's fine.
Yeah.
But this, especially for something new and something unique, you want to make sure that everything's fresh. And yeah, I'm sure the ego thing is what I forget about a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, you don't think about that. You don't see that behind the scenes ego stuff because they usually leave that out of the documentary or the behind the scenes videos.
Yeah.
Hey, this guy's a dick.
Yeah. No, I think it's the way to go because, like, I mean, on that, the tales of that, like, Daniel Radcliffe is in he's never going to be big. Like to the length that he could be because everybody sees him as Harry Potter.
Right.
So every time he does, and then now he's older, like he doesn't have, I mean, he's like scruffy and got that. I mean, maybe eventually he'll be able to like create a new persona once his image changes enough. But like right now it's like, you see him and it's like, that's Harry Potter.
Right.
And it's hard.
This is why Mark Hamill went to voice acting only.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And he's makes some of the best bad guys ever.
Yeah.
And you never know it was Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
So
it's pretty awesome. But I mean, like, I would definitely recommend going check out this article. It's like I said, it's long, but there's a lot of good information in here, especially about like how Red Dead Redemption came to be, because I didn't know this, but Angel Studios is the ones that created Red Dead Revolver, which I had played that, and I had thought that it was made by Rockstar, but it actually wasn't made by Rockstar. It was before Rockstar acquired the property.
Right.
And Red Dead Revolver was made by them. The company was going to get shut down. They were like, they went in there and picked them up. Take-Two did. And then they looked at this and was like, there's some potential here. Let's do something with it. So they turned that studio, Angel Studios into Rockstar San Diego, which made Red Dead Redemption 1, which blew everybody's mind. So, like,
good for them.
That's awesome. And so I'm super hyped.
And I feel like,
can't wait.
These are one of those games that we maybe get a third one, but I don't think we'll ever get, like, this series is going to have to end at some point.
Yeah.
Like, it's not one of those things you just carry through unless you picked up somewhere else down the timeline or told someone else a story. You know what I mean?
They could do it like Grand Theft Auto. If they do it like that pathway where it's like you're in this concept of Grand Theft Auto, but none of them go, they don't carry over.
Right, right.
You know, you have Grand Theft Auto 5, which is a completely different character set than you had in Grand Theft Auto San Andreas or Vice City or whatever. They could do something like that, tell a different story from a different aspect of it. But I like to see them keep continuing to explore new realms and world, because their world building is incredible. Not even world building, their character building is really good. And like the fact that they can stick you into a world that you feel so a part of, and like they can take New York and stuff like that and make it feel so alive and deep and like way more than anything you'd ever experience in other games, and just like all the things you can do within that playground.
Except for
the sandbox.
CD Projekt Red, because they're about to throw the
that'll be
throw their towel in the ring. Be like, hey,
be intense.
Guess what?
That'll be intense. Yeah, it'll be interesting. I've heard Bully is really good. I never played Bully, but people Bully to come back.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be cool if they explored more of that kind of stuff.
Next-gen refresh.
I don't know what they would do next, but I think there's a lot out there that can be done. But ultimately, like, Rockstar is doing some awesome stuff. Red Dead's coming down the line. I cannot wait. I cannot wait.
Man.
Anything else you want to add to that?
No. I mean, I guess they could almost do anything, really.
Oh, yeah.
Think
totally.
About it. Totally. I'm trying to think what they would do next. And I feel like their market isn't like sci-fi fantasy or anything like that. I feel like if something, maybe they
their
would
stuff is
dabble,
definitely grounded in realism.
Yeah, maybe
like
the
gritty realism. Like
I can see them doing like a Witcher thing, but not that. But like medieval Dark Ages or something like that, just to kind of like spruce it up a bit. I'm trying to think in time.
They would do a really good kind of like if it was like Kings and Queens, like medieval castle era, but like not a Game of Thrones style,
right?
But like just like that.
I'm just trying, like, what other times in history would they pick up? You know what I mean? Like, I don't think they would do Victorian era. Well, they might. I don't know. Because I'm thinking like Syndicate.
Yeah.
But like, I wouldn't do anything that has these, like, well, I guess you could.
Yeah. Period piece would be interesting.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'd love to see them go back and do like revisit LA Noir. I mean, that wasn't their game, but they published it. But like, do that kind of thing again, that period piece.
That'd be cool.
With Grand Theft Auto, like go back a little bit, back to the gangster days or whatever. I don't know. That could be interesting. You know what they also could do really well with is pirates.
Ah, yeah.
I mean, that would be something I bet they could excel on.
Yeah.
It's nothing that's like they could take a pirate game and make a really good gritty pirate story.
Yes.
Yeah.
An actual good story.
And that's real shit. You know, that's stuff that happened in history.
So I'm trying to think of stuff that has been done, but not too much. Cause I feel like Assassin's Creed is pretty much banking on the whole ship water thing. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's out there. I mean, I'm pretty sure they could do something pretty badass with it, but I feel like they would stay away from that. Like, I think Dark Ages hasn't really been touched on. I mean, there is stuff like Kingdom Comes out there, but it's not technically a AAA very, very well received, you know, indie game. But yeah. I mean, you don't hear about it across the spectrum. You
right.
know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Man.
But I don't think they do things. Fantasy.
No.
They are going to stick with something real and then just put a twist on it, obviously.
Yeah.
Like GTA. Yeah.
I think they could do an interesting game in the realm of, like, I don't know if they would go this route, but like Ghost of Tsushima, what they're doing now.
Oh yeah.
Like do the, the that era of time.
That would be cool.
With the Mongols and stuff like that.
Ooh, yeah. You
know, they could do something pretty dark with that.
Right. They might keep it in American history though.
Yeah.
Cause it's harder to go over there and figure it out and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. Cause everything's been kind of American based, America based.
Yeah. Oh, see what happens.
Yeah. Anyway.
But, well, that's going to wrap it up for our news this week. If there is something that you have questions about or want to contribute to next week's segment, please email us at hello@theinnergamer.net. And we'll also have some of the most important news stories on youtube.com/theinnergamer this Thursday, which is the same day as our event that you should be coming to at Hop Fusion in Fort Worth if you're in Fort Worth, Texas. If you like what you hear, give us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts. We're going to take a quick break and come back with our video game releases.
You're listening to The Inner Gamer.
Looking forward to next week, let's talk about our upcoming video game releases. On October 26th, the only game that you should care about this next week, PS4, Xbox One, and that's it. Currently, eventually PC, we don't know when, but eventually PC, Red Dead Redemption 2. Finally here, we've talked enough about this podcast. You know what's happening. You know what's coming. It's going to be awesome, and we're going to pick it up and can't wait to play it. Also, on October 30th, which is the Tuesday podcast when we come back, we have PS4, Xbox One, and PC. Call of Cthulhu is coming out. In 1924, you're a private investigator, Pierce, sent to look at the tragic death of the Hawkins family. Plunge into a world of creeping madness and cosmic horror. Cryptic clues, shadowy figures, and pure terror bar your way as you fight to retain your sanity and solve an otherworldly mystery. So there you have it, folks. You'll be playing Red Dead Redemption 2, maybe putting Call of Cthulhu on your list for 2019.
Cthulhu.
And yeah. We don't know what else we're going to play the rest of the year other than Red Dead Redemption 2. So there it is.
Yeah, I might as well just slash everything I haven't done because it's going to take the rest of the year.
Yeah, what are we going to do when Fallout 76 comes out? Skip it.
I don't know.
Wait. I bought it already.
I know. We both bought it already.
Damn it. Anyway. All right. Well, that's going to wrap up our show this week. Be sure and check us out next Tuesday for more from your favorite game podcast. Visit theinnergamer.net for our latest episodes, blogs, videos, and social channels. If you like what you hear, please leave a review on iTunes. Please leave us a review on iTunes.
Please.
Apple Podcasts, actually. Or tell a friend. And also, this Thursday, come to our event at Hop Fusion. There will be a new beer.
If you forgot,
video games.
If you forgot at this point in the podcast,
it'll be amazing.
Said it like 10
you
times.
You should come. I'm going to say it 10 more times until you come.
They're coming.
There you have it.
Just say you're coming. Just say you're coming.
And then Austin, what else we got?
We have a Patreon, which is a way for you, our listeners, to donate to the cause in order to bring you all the great content you want to see and hear every week, even $1 a month or $1 a week or, you know, $1 a day, whatever. You know, help us
None of us can talk today.
I know.
What's
I think it's all the
that?
Coffee I had. I'm thinking
that probably
too
fast. Is. You're like revved up like crazy.
Well, help us keep bringing you this content every week. Plus, if you support us, we have some awesome rewards waiting for you, such as being a guest on the podcast or getting some exclusive content. So head on over to theinnergamer.net and click donate to contribute.
Just do it already.
My name is Austin Morales.
My name is Brian Oski.
Guys, thanks for tuning in this week. And we'll
girls.
Catch you.
And dogs.
Next time.
Next time. Three.
Wait, hold on.
Two. Okay. One. Ready?
I think so.
All right, we're on video. Make sure you're paying attention. Looking at the camera.
Yeah, engaging. Brett. Make sure you're paying attention.
You don't want anybody to look at you, be like, the guy on the left's gay. He's so gay, that guy on the left. Gosh, he's so gay. Sharon, I'm tired of living in the city. There's too much bullshit. There's shootings every day. Like, that's kids funny. Doing stupid shit. And it's like, sir, we've seen how well your farms have done. We want to partner with you. And he was like, oh, really? That's awesome. What would you like to, like, what are you offering? Like, we want to take your weed and we want to provide it in vape pens. And he's like, pussy, you pussy, get out of here, you pussy. Vape pens are for pussies.